Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The death of Absalom. The rebellion has begun. David has fled from Jerusalem. Ahithophel has hanged himself. The two armies have crossed the Jordan. They are poised for battle. David has divided his forces into three, Joab, Abishai, and Ittai being his generals. David had determined that he was going to go to battle, but he was moved by the people. You cannot go. You will be a target on that battlefield. And so he stayed back. David gave commands that Absalom would be treated gently. The battle took place and 20,000 people needlessly died by either the sword or the wood, all because of sin. Well, the victory was surely for David. At the same time, there was great loss. Victory that the rebellion was subdued, the nation can be reunited, and yet the loss of 20,000 lives. Families have suffered. The nation suffers loss. The testimony for God has been greatly affected. And thus is the reality of this world. Sin. Sin. It's interesting to note that very little text is given to the battle itself. Much text is given. Spirituality, the lack thereof, the actions of the people, but almost nothing about the battle. Because God is more concerned with our spiritual conditions than he is with the deeds of man on this earth. Let us read our text tonight, 2 Samuel 18, starting at verse 8. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it, and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed him about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people, and they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, every one to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken up and reared for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place. We have here the captivity of Absalom as his head gets caught in the branches of a tree. And then we have his death. We have a certain man coming upon Absalom. He reports to Joab. Joab goes and murders him. Against the wishes of David. Let us take a consideration of this tonight. Verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Absalom has taken advantage of his father, and now he himself is helpless and exposed. In verse 8, we saw that the wood devoured more than the sword. We know almost nothing about the battle except this one incident, the death of Absalom. This man has instigated this whole mess. Surely the sin of David is the root cause. But Absalom, oh Absalom, what a mess he is. Can you imagine coming upon this scene, this guy's head caught, and he's dangling there, his arms and legs flailing? If it wasn't so serious, it would be funny. Remember that David and Bathsheba did end up getting married, and they had a son named Solomon, a much younger brother. Solomon is alive, and Solomon knows surely Absalom. Solomon, in the Proverbs, writes these words, and think about Absalom as we read these. Proverbs 1:22, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." And here we have Absalom hanging by his head. Can you just imagine him? How in the world did I get caught here? In this very precarious position, dangling. Now, surely it would make sense that the head is caught, but also his gloriously wonderful hair. Let us remember a few chapters back how much pride Absalom had in his wonderful head of hair. 2 Samuel 14:25. "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head that was caught in the tree branches, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, or got a haircut, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because his hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight." I believe his wonderfully glorious hair has also contributed to him being ensnared. And of all things, his miserable donkey walks out from underneath him. And there he is, hanging by his head and hair from a tree branch. And there it is. Take a look again at 2 Samuel 18:8. "For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured." Absalom was one of those devoured by the wood. This stationary object seized him. There are no coincidences. How did God do that? I don't know how God did that. I just know that God did that. And this arrogant fool is now on display, hanging from a tree branch. You have to wonder why God allows people like Absalom to live. But if God took out every sinner, there'd be nobody left. If we go back a few verses, we would remember that David told the three generals, "And in the ears of all the people, deal gently with Absalom." So this man is going to find him. And there are no coincidences. I want you to consider his head getting caught in this tree branch. Is this truly an accident? Or is God within it? God used a mule and a tree to humble and subdue Absalom. You behave like a fool. You think you're so wonderful. Watch what God can do with a donkey and a stationary tree branch. By the way, you don't have to seek vengeance. God doesn't need your help. He can use a tree branch and a donkey. He doesn't need you. As we consider coincidences life, I want you to mentally make a note in your mental vocabulary to strike out the word coincidence. Because in the Christian vocabulary, there are no coincidences. There is God. If you think back to the story of Genesis, where we have Joseph told by Jacob to go find his brethren, he is walking around the countryside looking for them, and he wanders into a certain man. That certain man directed him to his brothers who sold him into slavery that ended up making him second in command of all Egypt. Do you think that was a mistake, that he met him out in the field? I like the story of Ruth, the Moabite woman, brought back by Naomi to Israel, and she goes out to glean in the field and just happens upon the field of Boaz, Ruth 2:3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, we don't use that word much today, it means her accident, chance, or fortune. Her chance was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. But God was in it. And because Ruth gleaned in the field of Boaz, guess what? She met Boaz, she got married, and she became great-grandmother to a guy by the name of King David. There are no coincidences. Take a look at Matthew 1:5. Genealogies. And Salmon begot Booz or Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Ruth to Jesse, David. Incredible. I accidentally said Ruth was great-grandmother. Rahab is there. She's grandmother to David. Reflecting again, are there chances? No. 1 Kings, we have the story of Ahab. He goes to battle and he does not want to get killed. Obviously, as the king, if he's out in the battlefield dressed in kingly attire, he's a target. So he adorns himself in common array with armor. And take a look at 1 Kings 22:34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Didn't pay attention. Just kind of mindlessly aimed that thing and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Do you think that's a coincidence? That happenstance arrow just happened to find the weak point and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of this chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host. I am wounded. He died. There are no coincidences. Those trees on the battlefield where David and Absalom were a blessing to David's forces and a cursing to Absalom's forces. And so it is, the very things in this life that we deal with that some people are going to look at as a nightmare and others are going to say they're a blessing. What's the difference? You're standing with God. David wasn't afraid of the trees. David's men weren't afraid of the trees. How do you take on life? Is it a blessing to you? Or the things around you a cursing? Chapter 18, verse 10, and a certain man saw it. There's no coincidence as he got his head caught in that tree. And there's no coincidence that this certain man, it doesn't say, and a man saw it. A certain man. God allowed that man to be the very one to come upon Absalom hanging there. And told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." This man obviously was loyal to David. Little is known about him, other than he obeyed what the king said to do. The Bible is filled with people that we don't know much about. And is that not the reality of life? On the grand stage of this world, nobody knows us. Right? But God knows. We don't know who this guy was. God does, and God allowed him to be the one. Verse 11, this man is rebuked by Joab, and Joab said unto this man, "And behold, thou sawest him? Why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." Now we know what David said, be gentle. And this man is going to defend himself to Joab. Joab is very wrong. Verse 12, and the man said unto Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom." You could have given me 1,000 pieces of silver. I don't want it. Aren't you glad there are people that can't be bought? This is a problem around the world. Corruption in government. This man couldn't be bought. I don't care what you give me, I'm not going to kill him. I know what David said, and I know you were there and you heard it too, Joab. You're not listening. He stood there in the presence of his uncle David, King David, heard exactly what he said, and he defiantly says, "Why didn't you kill him?" Joab apparently had no intention of obeying David's command to be gentle with Absalom. But this man realized the gravity of disobeying God's anointed. He would not go against his word, as we see very clearly in verse 12, verse 13. "Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against my own life." I could have killed him. Nobody else was there. But I would have brought judgment on my head because God knows. God knows. What are you like when nobody else is around? "For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself would have set thyself against me. If I would have done this, you'd have accused me." Now, why he would say that, I don't fully know. But he knows that you don't hide things from the king. Why, as a matter of fact, let's think about Joab himself trying to conceal a matter from David. Only a few chapters earlier, in chapter 14, we have this story where Joab wants Absalom brought to the king's presence. So what did he do? He got a woman from Tekoa and made up a story. And the woman from Tekoa came to David and told this tale of woe. And David says, "You know, it sounds like Joab's behind all this." How did he know? God told him. I don't know how God told him. She said, "You're right, Joab's behind." 2 Kings chapter 6, God was illuminating Elisha to the whereabouts of the Syrian army. How did God tell him? I don't know, but I know that God told him. Ecclesiastes tells us, don't you whisper. about the king, because what you whisper in your bedchamber, a little birdie is going to carry it. God sees to it that your words will be made known. This man understood this, and even Joab didn't, even though he was exposed by the woman of Tekoa. This man is in a very difficult position. I perceive, because of the proximity, he was close to Joab. He must have therefore been in one of his forces, one of the third of the army under Joab. And he is now saying, I am not going to obey you in this. Has your boss ever asked you to do something? And you have to stand up and say, you're wrong. I am not. I know what David said. And I'm not going to do it. You know, this is the reality of life, folks. Sinners interacting with sinners. And there will be times you're going to say to yourself, how did I ever get in this mess? Here I am being loyal to David, standing strong against the rebellious forces of Absalom, and all of a sudden now my general here is not pleased with me. Yet he stood strong. Verse 14, then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. I'm not going to waste any more time with you. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Now I want you to stop and think about this. We don't know how long Absalom was hanging there before the certain man found him. But the certain man finds him and he's still kicking and pulling and trying to extricate himself from this position. And the certain man goes off and has this lively conversation with Joab while Absalom hangs by his head. And then Joab takes his armor bearers and goes. And he's hanging there the whole time. Verse 14 again. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. He took 3 darts in his hand, thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. These 3 darts went into him. He's already got enough pain and suffering by hanging from his head. Now he's got 3 darts with him. He is still alive, verse 15. And the young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote him and slew him. He suffered a pretty miserable death. A very undignified death. Can you read that one in the obituaries? Cause of death. Well, he hung from his head from a tree branch. The mule walked out from underneath him. Joab stabbed him, and then a bunch of guys came and finally killed him. This man disobeyed Joab, obeyed David, and it was not for Joab to decide the fate of Absalom. It was for Joab to obey David. The command was clear. Which then brings us to the thought, what are we to do with Joab? If there are no coincidences in life, that this stationary branch caught him by the head, if it's not a coincidence that a certain man found him, there are no coincidences, why did God not allow Ittai or Abishai to be the general to come upon Absalom? And possibly they would have obeyed David instead of taking his life. Why God does, we don't necessarily know why, but that God does. There are just some things in life that we're not going to fully understand. Personally, I think Joab tended to be a hothead. I think he had a temper. Nobody told him what to do. He was the infamous loose cannon. It's interesting. Take a look at verse 15. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor. 10 armor bearers. I didn't give you these verses. But just for the fun, in Judges 9, 53 and 54, Abimelech had 1 armor bearer. In 1 Samuel 14:6, Jonathan the prince had one armor bearer. King Saul himself, in 1 Samuel 16:21, we even see that David was once his armor bearer. He had one at a time. In chapter 31, verse 6, his one armor bearer died with him. Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17, when David went out as a shepherd boy, Goliath had one armor bearer. And Joab, I believe in his proud, arrogant spirit, I need 10 armor bearers. It is amazing that David has demoted him from being the general of all the army to over one-third of the army, and yet he has such control, such influence. Such is life. Some people just have a way of making their way into influence. David has commanded that the son, Absalom, be treated gently. He has already been pardoned for murdering his brother Amnon. Exodus 21:17 tells us, "And he that curses his father," I think that fits the bill of Absalom, "or his mother shall surely be put to death." Absalom was guilty and worthy of death, and yet the king commanded. Hence, should Joab have disobeyed? I don't think so. I want you to imagine, had Joab dealt gently with Absalom, and they would have taken him out of the tree and took him back to King David as a prisoner. Was David going to pardon him again? To only rise up again in rebellion? We don't know. Or was David going to imprison him for life, and there would always be the threat that he would escape and lead another rebellion? We don't know. We know this. He was guilty. We know this. For some reason, God in his wisdom allowed Joab, not Ittai, not Abishai, but Joab to find him. It is true that many times on this earth, we will not understand. And there will be things that we could take such as this. I'm not trying to gender situation ethics. I am dealing with the reality of life. There are going to be times we're going to scratch our head and say, why did that happen as it did? And it is for us as believers to realize God is on the throne. God does as he sees fit. And it's for us to seek his face and pray that if we get put in one of those situations, he guides and directs powerfully, surely, that we would know how to behave ourselves in such a situation. It cannot be denied that Joab, by taking the life of Absalom, he ended the war and many lives were spared. Does that justify his disobedience to David? No. Pastor Holly, what are you saying? I'm saying we don't know many times. Verse 16, look what Joab does. He blew the trumpet, the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. How did one general have the power to stop three armies? This Joab just had an influence. Hey, Joab said it, we better do it. And the truth is, he saved a lot of lives. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. The rebellion was over. We can't deny this. Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in a king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it's called unto this day Absalom's Place. I want you to think about this. We just read verse 18. And in the middle of that verse, it says, for he, Absalom, said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. Mark 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27. and unto Absalom there were born 3 sons. Where are they? Did God take them? Were they illegitimate? I don't know. I don't know. Did he disown them? I don't know. I know this. Absalom was rebellious. He was in exile for 5 years from the king and from the palace. He was a very unhappy man, as his sister was defiled by her half-brother. He was guilty of murder. He was a rebellious fool. He died a very undignified death. And he didn't have his very sons. And such is the case of sin. How God did what God did, I don't know, but I know God did it. If you are in sin, do not be surprised when life doesn't turn out full of roses. The Christian life is not promised the infamous bed of roses, but it is promised God will be there and see you through it. I perceive Absalom was the fool in Proverbs, and God laughed at his calamity. Israel is now unified. The rebellion has ceased. Psalm 133:1, a song of degrees of David. You have to wonder what was on his mind when he wrote this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Brethren, this is the nation of Israel fighting among itself. For brethren to dwell together in unity. And that carries into today. Ephesians 4:3 talks to the church, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.